Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Exciting and new.
Woo.
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Beyonce.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality gates. Let's love.
Excuse me. Can I take something? Yeah, oh, I'm sorry for the intimate portrait people.
There you go.
Excuse me. Can I say something? Can I speak? Can I say something now?
He just put his shirt over his head for those of you who are listening, like E.T.
Not like E.T., but yes.
Excuse me. I really had something to say. Can I speak now?
I like it how it has been killing her not to speak the entire fucking time.
I will say, I love watching her on this show.
I
love them together.
Yeah, I think he was this season or this episode. I think he's the roughest he's ever been to her, and I understand why she's very upset.
It shows. I mean, you haven't disagreed with me, but I know I've gone a little harder, saying like we both agree that they're both terrible, and that's why it doesn't. But I see where you come from. Like, she triggers you a lot more than, but it doesn't bother me the way she treats him, because I've always, you know, it's that, yeah, I'm glad we're seeing that both of them are treating one another sometimes like they're objects and not people. And we really get to see that from Usman now.
Well, and they go back and forth. His was always kind of in the background, because she was always saying things like, no, I will not be the second wife. The second wife is the baby maker, and saying awful things about my issue with her is always dehumanizing other people, especially people who happen to be African. And now
he's dehumanizing her in a very ageist
He's saying what we knew he always thought anyway, but out loud.
And kind of shocking that he said it. I didn't think he would ever say it.
Yeah.
Y'all, but big news. Y'all, this is Hey.
This is Reality Gaze. Hey. Season 7, episode 9, Bad Blood.
Again, even when I don't know, enjoy the episode, you're a whore. I enjoy talking about it with you. I have fun with you. I'm always happy.
Agree. It's always a good time.
We're always feel better once we do a podcast. Well, not Labor of Love. I felt worse about myself when we did that.
And Sexy Beasts.
Oh, I felt
like, yeah. I had to drink during sex.
It made me feel worse, but we always feel better after doing a podcast. So we hope you feel better after listening to this show, y'all. We hope that for you.
I hope so. That's one of the reasons we do it. So
big news. Did you see Kimberly's new look?
That's fake, you know.
What?
I knew I was going to have to.
I thought it was real. No!
I knew I was going to have to tell you it's fake. No! Yeah, someone photoshopped it. Girl, you are a fucking Carl's wife, because you see something on the internet and immediately think it's real.
Carl?
You're a fucking Carl's wife.
Carl, did you see Kim's new look?
You're the Carliest of Carl's wives.
Oh, I'm so upset because it looks so much better.
I think she could lighten it a little bit, but she was like, excuse me, this is not my haircut. This is photoshopped.
Oh,
well, why would I want to just like, this person looks like the mom, the wife on Kate Plus Eight. I'm like, you mean Kate? No, she went off. Yeah, she was very upset that someone photoshopped her hair.
Oh no,
it's not real. Yeah, Carl's wife, you're doing exactly what we tell Carl's wives not to do.
Y'all, it was blonde. It was cut shorter.
It was much better.
She had kind of wispy bangs to the side. And it's not my fault. It's the sissy who tagged her and said, I'm glad she listened to at the Matt Maher, who says we should go lighter as we get old.
Ooh, wow. Now she's, now you got a target on your back.
Yeah, I know. I said, I can't believe you said old. You need to say, that's why in cosmetics we say mature. That's a thing.
She called her old?
Yes.
She's only 51.
She's not old.
She just looks older.
It's a rule. When you talk to anybody about something they do as they age, that they teach one of the first rules they say in cosmetics, they actually say, I remember Karen Flatt at the clinic said, we do not say old at a cosmetic counter. We say they mature. That's the word we use.
I like the phrase of a certain age.
Now you can talk about reversing the signs of aging,
but you can't say old.
Can reverse age, but you never aged. This helps you look less. Imagine, y'all, try Maddie's makeup. We help you look less old. No, you don't go buy that shit.
Yeah, you tell me I look old all the time.
Well, because you don't do what I say sometimes, and it makes you look old.
Well, I credit you for making me start doing skincare about like 7 or 8 years ago. I wasn't doing anything.
You weren't doing anything, and you weren't wearing sunblock. I think I do want to make my own skincare makeup line one day. I think that'd be fun.
Can we focus on the now?
I'm very upset about that. God, I'm a Carl's wife.
No, you're a fucking Carl's wife. The worst of them.
You're right.
Yes, you're like one of those people who see something on the internet and immediately believe it.
I saw it and I threw down my knitting and I got very excited.
Oh, so yeah, every time I see something that I can't quite believe, ask yourself, is this true? That's a good rule of thumb, y'all, for the internet in general.
I do it with real news now. I do it with actual news because we have
good rule of thumb.
But I don't do it with, wow.
No, I just, anytime there's something, I look for a second corroboration of sources. Yeah.
I guess I have to do it 90 Day Fiance now, just like I have to do about it with politics.
Yep, cool. You do. So my mother would say, that's why I'm not on social media. I'm so glad she's not. Then she would be checking up on me.
Oh, she would know everything about you.
Y'all, as we've, you've probably heard by now.
She listened, Jay Bird, did you really have sex with a football team? God, I thought I raised you better. And you would say, just a defensive line, mother.
All those people, all those men.
All those men. Aren't you sore, Jay Bird? I'm worried about your butthole, Jay Bird.
She would.
I don't want to be cleaning
up. Muffin, I'm just talking to Jay Bird about getting fucked by a football team. Jay, I'll feed you later.
We have to wear a diaper. You know, your Uncle Sam had to wear a diaper because of his drinking, Jay Bird. You want to be like that?
When I do call my mother, her dog gets extremely jealous.
Wow.
And the dog does not like, if I've talked to her too long, it's almost like the dog can hear my voice. And the dog is extremely jealous of me.
Wow.
Of me and my brother. The dog is quite jealous.
Does the dog not like it when you come over?
The dog is okay when I'm there for a while, and the dog will come up to me and play a little bit. She's just really poorly behaved. She kind of starts to bite and try to fight with you, even though I've offered to pay for training.
No!
Yes.
That's the most passive-aggressive thing ever. How did you say that to her?
I've offered to actually take, when I'm home, to take her to class every day at PetSmart.
Oh my God, that's a read. What did she say when you
did
it?
She did not respond well to it. I don't think they can teach her anything. She's just the wildest dog.
So she took totally no blame of herself.
No. She said, that's just her. She's just willful.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think we need, if you're comfortable, because it's a dog, not a person, can we see a picture of Muffin?
I think I posted a picture in the Sissy Squad.
Oh, you did?
Maybe I did.
I don't remember what the dog looks like.
I have a photo of a couple. She's a Boykin Spaniel, which is kind of like a Springer Spaniel. Kind of a medium-sized dog. She's actually gorgeous. She's a beautiful dog.
Yeah, but spaniels can be vicious.
She's very smart.
Very willful.
She kind of owns the house. She'll do whatever the fuck she wants. She gets a ride every day in the Gator, which is this little ATV vehicle.
Wait, are you jealous of the dog? Because it kind of sounds like it.
Next question. We're talking about Happily Ever After, not me. And me being maybe or not jealous of my mother's dog. The dog is, regardless of whether I am or not, the dog is jealous of me. I am certain of it.
We'll start with that. Okay.
Trying to say, Love is Blind. Check it out, y'all. Everyone's freaking out on our Patreon. Insane.
It's insane. And so if you're thinking, somebody said, Sissy Mary said, y'all have too much stuff. We've
raw dogged you with content this last week and a half. There's been a lot.
We get it. There's a lot. And y'all have now, things are happening more in life. So don't feel like, but you've got another week before this drops out on Netflix. So you've got time. There's no more. We've got no more Single Life.
After,
or not Single Life. There's no more no more UK. And there's Single Life. How many? And we no more Smothered.
Two more Single Lives.
No more Smothered. But we do have, the last thing, we do have our interview with Dawn and Cher.
Coming out next week. It was so much fun. They were great.
No, this week. This week. It's coming out week.
Wednesday.
Yeah, it's coming out on Wednesday. They were so
they were really
much
good
fun.
Sports.
Dawn didn't wear her hair a certain way because of something we said on the podcast. Of something we said. Yeah.
I had a problem with it, but you went on a crusade.
I did. Anyway, she said it to us after the show, and
I felt bad.
I felt like when Poodle commented on Sandy Duncan's glass eye and was called out. That's how I felt. That's how I felt.
They were lovely, though, and they were very themselves.
They were very themselves.
Yeah.
That's a good story. You should write that story down.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah,
me being humiliated by a star of stage and screen.
Yes, that is a good story. We're trying to write down stories, y'all, just to remember them. But anyway, so, okay. So, yes, check that out this Wednesday. But, y'all, so we're giving you, you're thinking there's a lot now, but like the next week, things are thinning out a little bit. So you have time for Love is Blind. So check out, it's on the $5 tier of Reality Gaze Plus. But at this point, y'all, just get commercial free and fucking listen to Love After Lockup, because we have our Love During Lockup
love
now.
During Lockup this season. Yeah,
oh,
right
man.
Now.
Oh, I'm so worried about the new Black and White Cookie. She's going to get her heart broken.
The new deaf Black and White Cookie.
Yeah, she's going to get it broken.
There's a mail carrier from New Jersey who just wants to impress people at her high school reunion.
Oh, she is. She is totally a she's a Salt Wife's daughter.
No, that's Justine. That's a different one. She's got like a Massachusetts Kennedy kind of sound to a voice.
Who has her mother? Who has a not a salt wife but a garden wife, y'all?
She's a garden wife in New Jersey. Just gonna look out at the garden, watch the planes take off at Newark. Just wring my hands in the morning. Hopefully, one of my children will visit me. The garden wife is a lot less. Garden wife is much more guilt driven.
Yeah.
Than a salt wife is much more. She rhapsodizes a lot.
Rhapsodizes. Yeah. Because yeah. My and their kids aren't garden wife. The kids aren't attendant. That far. They're just in Brooklyn, but she doesn't like to go that far.
No, she doesn't leave New Jersey. I haven't left here. Why should I leave? I haven't left here in 35 years. Last time I left, I saw a man killed on the street of Manhattan.
Then she just yells things and then just goes back to quiet, just every once in a while.
Yeah. What are you doing? I told you not to touch my curtains. Yeah, she's interesting. No makeup, very, very spare. She is that garden wife is rough. She's had a life too,
but very dyed dark hair.
Yeah,
but no makeup.
Very pale, no makeup.
Yeah.
It's a thing. This season of Love During Lockup is just chef's kiss. It's fabulous.
Yeah, it's so good, y'all. Thank y'all for joining us on the Intimate Portrait. If you're looking at us, I am not in a bunker somewhere. I'm in a hotel room. I'm in Dallas. Poodle's in Los Angeles. I'm coming back.
I'm wearing my shirt with Rue McClanahan on it.
Shut up.
I'm on prep, honey.
I'm wearing my shirt with Rue McClanahan as well.
Oh my God!
Wow, we are gay.
We're so gay today. Here, I'll show the Intimate Portrait what it says. I'm on prep, honey.
It's good. Y'all, by the way, they're not giving, but they did let me go see it with my friend Don. If you live in the Los Angeles area and y'all have not gone to the Golden Girls pop-up that's in Beverly Hills.
I haven't gone. I need to see it.
It's so cute. And they did a really, 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 really great job. They recreated the kitchen. You can get pictures from the Golden Girls kitchen. And
I was going to go see it with this guy I was fucking, but then... He got back together with his boyfriend.
Unless he's super comfortable with you being super duper gay, I would go with you again.
He's had sex with me. So
that's true. That's true. That's true.
Seen me going like a dolphin, I think you'd be okay.
I don't think you can go there because with somebody you're fucking, because they do the kitchen, they redo even the phone and everything, but they also recreated Blanche's bedroom.
Oh,
like the palm fronds, the wall.
Yes. And yes.
It looked just like it, but you would
actually get notes.
You would fuck someone on that bed room. In the middle of the restaurant, but they serve Italian food and then you can get cheesecake. It's a pop-up. It's only here for like another month. So if you're in the LA area, I highly recommend y'all check it out. It's a fun little thing.
I need to go before it leaves.
You should. All right.
All right. Should we talk about the show?
We should talk about the show. Let's talk about Kim and Usman.
Kim and Usman. It's not a bribe. It's not a bribe. I swear. It's not, God, why would you think I would do a bribe?
That is so, yo, bro. That is so not a bribe. Not a bribe. Yo. No. Well, what are you saying?
So Farouk, that's his brother. His cute brother.
It's hard for me to look at this family. They're all so closed off.
Okay, I want to ask you, some sissies brought this up in, was it the Facebook? No, on Patreon, in the Patreon comments, because y'all, if you're on Patreon, there's special threads that just they can comment on.
Yeah.
And so we were reading some, and one of the sissies said that they think Usman's family is all in on this, and they feel like there's fraudacity. Do you think
How
that?
So?
That it was a shorter comment, but it just felt like I feel like the family's all in on it, and they're just playing the game, and they want him to get to America, and they want him to help capitalize on all that. I don't feel that, but what do you think?
That's a very complicated plan for an easy thing.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
I So you're saying they would oppose this?
They're making drama. That they think they don't care. They're just making this drama for good TV.
Oh, I well, go back to. It's hard to know with the way things are filmed here, especially with these two people. Well, especially with Usman, why he acts the way he does is 100% for publicity.
Everything. So like, everything's calculated for him.
I don't know if his family follows suit. It seems like with what the mom and the brothers are saying, those seem pretty in line with Hausa customs. So
I agree.
I would have a problem kind of accusing them of being sellouts by saying things that sound reasonable. I don't know. I guess
it might not sound reasonable to us, but to them, it is reasonable. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, a lot of times I only cry for audacity when it seems like the production is trying really hard to sell us on things.
I think mom does a good enough job on her own.
Yeah, I think that's when I cry for audacity, when I feel like there's a breadcrumbs being led somewhere and the stakes don't feel high enough. Yeah. So it's like what we're getting from the cast doesn't really match up with where we're going. That's when it feels a little off to me. Any of this storyline is fucking chaotic, and it has been from moment one. I don't know why they would think they would need to make more drama. Kim's gonna do that on her own.
I mean, there should have been like, well, hold on, let me just do this.
I wish you could know me. I wish people know. People know that what I do.
I did laugh at this.
This comes from my heart. That, you know what? He had a wife before. He had a wife. That's not my fault. Whoa, that's not my fault. I'm not that person.
The music really goes there.
If you won't accept me, then I will go home. Okay? I will go because I will not be a second wife.
Y'all, she has major first wife energy, and it is that's the thing that you can't really get over. What she's taking from the past is, I had men in the past who treated me like a second wife. Like I was like disposable to them.
Which
that's your trauma.
That's her trauma.
It's yes, that is something that is valid. That is a valid thing for you. However, I don't think it's exactly the same as you being the first wife and not being. I think she is.
She said I was treated second,
but she's seeing it in such a hierarchy of, and it's interesting. She was completely fine with the hierarchy when she wasn't second. It's kind of like when let's say you're. Like you're in a war situation or a battle situation, and you're like, you will not do this to my troops. You will not do this to the rest of them. And like someone is shot right in front of you. You're like, whew. it feels kind of like she's just protecting herself and she doesn't give a shit about anybody else.
Yes. And it's also, she thinks that one American woman can negotiate with thousands of years of tradition.
Yeah, that's some privilege, right?
There's just privilege and I want to say naivete.
Yeah.
In that, so no way. No way. So she thinks, because she has to remember, women don't get a say in this custom.
No.
They don't get a say at all. So for them, they're like, why do you fucking care if you're the first wife or the second wife? It doesn't matter.
And what? Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just, it. And also, it's, it's, she is it, and the thing that really just makes you you start to feel like she's been asked, but then when this Usman brings in this level that he knows that he, or at least feels like he can do anything to her and she has to take it.
It's that's just disgusting. Near the end, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, near the middle and the end, but yeah. So I would bring that up because he's just kind of sitting there. Did you notice how he was sitting while his family was talking? I realize he's sitting there just kind of staring out, and he says he loves his mother, but this is a deep dive. But I think Usman, a part of him, can't stand his mother and hates his mother because she controls so much of his life. And I think he has a problem with women in general. And I think he gets off on making women feel playing with women's emotions like this.
I mean, I could see that, but I just want to say that's all of the society. So it's not just his mother. Yeah, so yeah. I don't want to put that on her. Like, it is if you notice, the woman who was there was an older aunt or a sister. The people in the room, that's just law of the kind of like how they behave.
Yes,
he may have that anger, but like what I'm saying is he comes from a culture where you don't have time to think about it. It's just, those are just done.
Yeah.
So I don't, that may be a little deeper to go. I mean, I don't know. I see him. What I noticed afterwards is his reaction was just ebullient. He was just like, we did it. It wasn't what we wanted to hear, but we did it. It's kind of good. And she's like, what? You're having this exact same thing. What I think, he was happy because he got out kind of unscathed. He did not get chewed at. He was even happy that the parents were even going to let him marry her at all. So that's what I think is interesting.
Also, I've been thinking and seeing this. It's really a different Usman than we saw in season one or his first season with Baby Girl. Because with BGL, he was much more kind of just like, oh, I'm the happy-go-lucky Usman guy. And he does seem way more just bitter but also like the agenda seems so.
He's more calculating.
And the fact that he's and less happier of a person. So it just feels, man, I don't feel sorry for Kimberly, but I do. I just feel it kind of grosses me out watching them a little bit. I still love it.
She's getting played.
She's getting played.
We all know that.
Yeah.
Everyone but her knows that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's so she says, and the thing is, I wouldn't have a problem with it if she was so complicit in it, but she's really not. Because, y'all, we all know, and until what he said earlier, but let me just get back to what the mom says. But the mom basically says, nope, you can marry a housewoman first and then marry Kim.
And when she said that, I went, oh my God.
That's the rule that comes down. And she even says, with what my mom says, my mom is like right below God. And
that's what Usman says later on. He says, I God and then my mom. So whatever she says, I have to do.
And that's why I think what's interesting for him, all these, it's a great way to be because it's all so simply outlined. Because your mom tells you can do one thing, and if your mom tells you you can't do anything, it's all solved. But he says, I'll just work on it, which means we're going to listen to what my mom says, and then we're going to wind up kind of doing what she says anyway.
Well, he says that anyway. He says, we're going to talk to my mom. She's going to say it needs to be this. And he says, Kimberly's eventually going to accept it because what other option does she have?
Yes. And he's
not wrong. He's not wrong.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, I'm surprised she hasn't woken up to that yet.
Because what Usman woke up to is that with Baby Girl Lisa, he picked someone who was too stubborn to do what he wanted to do.
Right. And also reprehensible as a human being.
Yes.
Yes. So, y'all, he's excited. He's like, maybe double yammy tonight. So he is so excited about this because this was the big thing, y'all, for the as long as they've been in Nigeria, she's been in Nigeria, he's been, you can tell, he's been very nervous about this. Now that it's over, he's feeling great.
Yeah.
They're going to go fuck in the hotel room.
Because he feels like no matter what, he gets what he wants. He gets yes. to come to America. And he doesn't really care about what she wants.
No, absolutely not. No. And he's explaining, he's like, I need to explain it to her and then it'll be over. And then but she's like, I will not be anyone's second anything. I will not be anyone's. It's interesting. I think if you
she's stuck on this title.
Convince her that you were co-wives and that no one was first or second. And even though maybe she could say, maybe he could marry a Hausa girl and call it the pre-wife, but she was really the first wife.
That's what I wrote. This is all just terminology. And
it's semantics.
Yeah.
And it's because, and it's that idea because she wants to be over that woman. And she can't get past that. It's interesting.
So you would be fine being the second wife?
Absolutely not. I have major first wife energy. Huge. I would come in there and rule. My Gene Triplehorn skills would be through the roof. My Mary Brown golf pants wearing self would be wearing too much makeup, making fun of everything my husband said, and just bossing the fuck out of the rest of those wives. No, I have no.
It would be me. It would. No one second anything. I just needed you to admit that you have something in common with Kimberly.
We totally. The difference is between me, you know, I don't share well. So polygamy is not for me.
It's not for you, yeah.
I can honestly say that. But what?
And Kim's like, were you proud of me for keeping my composure? Were you proud of me? Were you proud? And so but it's ridiculous. It's again, you do like where submit. He clearly doesn't want to see the truth. He actually think he is choosing not to see the truth. With Kimberly, it is like, wow, it's so clear you're not seeing this. Because when she says, they didn't even give me a chance. I knew it was going to be tough, but I didn't think it was going to be so hostile. And I went, did you not see the shrimp face wedding? We knew. Like,
no, she's a fan. She loves this show.
But she saw that. You think that they are going to, how could you think that they were going to separate an older American woman? They're just going to automatically think maybe because you have brown hair and not blonde hair. Oh, well, she can't be anything like baby girl Lisa. Well,
and it's interesting.
I mean, the naivete that she is shocked that they're quote punishing for her for that. And I went, girl, you dumb. Of course they're going to do that.
Then she goes into this thing about, well, I'm just going to break up with you right now. Just better for it to break up. And he's like, it's ridiculous for you to think about breaking up with me. Because this is the thing, y'all. If it was anyone was going to ever break up for him, it would be such a like a blow to his ego if Kim broke up with him. So he's like, that's so disrespectful. And then and she goes into...
Hell no.
Into all the things that he's done for her and that she hasn't compromised. Now, all know that is not the case. She has, quote unquote, compromised quite a bit from what she's wanted. But someone like Kim, there is always, when she does give, there is always...
It's conditional.
You'll need to do something for it. She's extremely transactional.
I'm going to give you this PlayStation, and then I'm going to stare at you until you give me the yummy.
And you're going to be my boyfriend. Hey, boyfriend.
Remember when he said, Look, I've given you so much. You were my fan, and then a super fan, and then a potential, and then my girlfriend. My stomach turned when I actually said it, because I went, wow, you're not seeing her as a human being at all. She's just a fucking chess pawn to you. That is all she is to you. Like, I can't imagine what Jamal thought about when he saw this as her son.
I think, sadly, this is only a repetition of a pattern for Kimberly's romantic life.
Yeah, we know she could have been on Lalu. We talked about it.
It feels normal for her to be in a relationship like this. So that's when I understand why to anybody else it sounds horrible for that to sound. And I agree.
But that's her normal. That's her normal.
That is her normal, y'all.
Yeah.
So when she does get upset, which reasonably so, she gets up. He's basically says, so many beautiful and sexy women are contacting me. And that implies she's like, so I'm ugly now? So I'm ugly now? One time this episode, I felt really sorry for Kim Bob.
Because I think we can all relate that we all have moments where we realize we take what we have been given and often don't set an expectation what we should have.
Yeah.
And so she's just gotten scraps her whole life, it sounds like. And that's, I think you phrase that so well. That's what she used to, and that's what she's used to. And it's when he said this to her, she got mad. But then when she's sitting there on the couch, it was kind of fascinating because you see the brain and the wheels turning. And
she rewrites it in her head.
Yeah, at first she's like crying. She's like, I'm not doing anything. She's like, fuck this guy. That's fucked up. Okay. That's fucked up. That's fucked up. Okay. Whoa. That's fucked up. I can't believe you said that to me. Whatever. He's doing me a favor. He's not doing me a favor. And then she's like, but he loves me so much.
Right.
Does he? I don't know. Does he? It's all fake. I don't know. Do I want this? You see her and I realize, oh, give you an hour and you're going to accept this.
Yeah, exactly. I thought
it's
the same thing.
It's very sad. Yeah.
And she will take all the scraps. And at the end, he's like, look at all these DMs full of beautiful ladies. He's going to get anything he wants with her because she's so insecure about her age and her looks. Oh, and she's so happy to have a younger man. I wonder what percentage of her relationships previously were with younger men.
I don't know.
Because the guy in jail who she was pursuing was younger.
He was younger, right? Yeah. All I know is, y'all, we have Gary in Techland did a little favor us. Don't tell anybody, but he hacked into Usman's phone. And I don't tell him, y'all, but I actually have one of the DMs that Usman got from a beautiful young lady that I want to read.
Oh, yeah. Can you read that?
Yeah, excuse me. Hold on.
Hey there, Soulja Boy. You might remember me. I'm that lady with that crunchy, fried, blonde hair that you like to just hold in the bed, and every time you hold
crispy.
Crispy. It reminded you of those onion rings, like when you put it on a burger at a restaurant, like at Ruby Tuesdays, and you crunch, crunch. And I was like, yeah, that's my hair. Look, Usman, I want that yammy, and I want it without a condom. Because when I get that yammy without a condom, that's an American way. And you know, I'm going to USA raw dog that dick. Love you.
Love you. That's just 11 M's.
Vulva.
P.S.
P.S.
Anyway, y'all.
It's going way back in the history.
Yeah. No, that's could be recent. We don't know, Usman. Sorry.
True.
We hacked in your phone.
We should take a little break.
I need a glass of water.
And we'll come back and talk about Shida and Janine Zamil.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough.
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify.
With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
And now it's time for another episode of Poodle's Broadway Corner. I'll take that. Y'all, this one is a kind of a weird one.
Jesus.
Although I know it's a little legalese, but okay. Kind of a big deal. Some of you may have heard about a Broadway show that closed back in July called Paradise Square. I think I probably talked about it a little bit. It was the story of black immigrants and Irish immigrants kind of in Little Five Points area. And the show had a long gestation process where it started off being about Stephen Foster.
Wow.
The writer of all those songs like
Kentucky,
Jeannie with the Light Brown Hair. And I remember I saw a pre-Broadway workshop about 8 years ago. And Stephen Foster was this drunk character stumbling around. The bar was called Paradise Square, was kind of where everyone was. And it was kind of like how the black immigrants of the time at that time in New York, I want to say it was 1910s, even 1890s, even that far back with Stephen Foster. And it was about what they had to face. What I saw was a mess, because they didn't know what story they wanted to tell, which often happens with big musicals, especially this had a cast of about, I saw a reading as well. So there was a chorus part, but this had a cast of about 25 people. And I said, this is kind of a bloated mess. And it was trying to kind of be ragtime-ish because guess what? The producer, Garth Drabinsky, was also the producer of Ragtime. And this is also the guy, Garth Drabinsky, had been served about an 18-month sentence in Canada for forging the books on his previous show. They kept two sets of books. Wow. So they overreported or underreported and they were making a lot of money off of it that they didn't really make.
Wow.
So, yeah. And so he came back to Broadway for this show called Paradise Square. And it was like, everyone was like, oh, and the reviews were... And some people were like, I love the singers. And then that woman performed on the Tonys and they're like, oh, this song was great. That was the one song, y'all. If you saw her on the Tonys, I can't remember her name now. It's a brilliant performance. That was the song.
That's all you
needed
to know.
That was the song. Yeah. I actually had a client who was in the ensemble and that was her Broadway debut. And she was very excited. So I had some firsthand knowledge about it when I contacted her when I started reading stuff. She's like, oh, honey, I have so much to tell you.
Oh, wow.
So turns out this guy, Garth Drabinsky, who had been around for a while, wasn't paying the designers. So the designers and things like that, they didn't get paid. The actors weren't getting workman's comp.
Oh, wow.
Weren't having their workman's comp paid. Now, this was all being done kind of surreptitiously. No one was really finding a lot about it. But Garth Drabinsky, I cannot believe people work with him again.
Yeah.
After everything they'd heard. I'm shocked that they let him ever do anything again. And then the fake outrage that Broadway said, I can't believe this person would do this. Y'all, come on.
I mean, it's not just like, oh, I didn't pay a few taxes. If someone has double books, like that is an intention.
I know.
That's an
intention.
He
went to jail. So the fact that this show was produced in any way, it was given a house that people trusted this person, is absurd. So these actors were saying things like, they didn't really say anything about him, but they were talking about the director, Moises Kaufman, who did Larry Project and a lot of other pieces. And the choreographer, Bill T. Jones, they were talking about how no one was on the same page, and it was mostly because of bad producing. And the Moises Kaufman, the director, would fly in. Bill T. Jones would fly out. They were never really in the same place at one time. I know this from my friend. There was a lot of shit. People got injured. Things weren't really working out. And it still went to Broadway. The reviews were medium at best. This is a show that they probably should have just put away. They should have just kind of suffocated it and should have been mercilessly killed. But they went to Broadway. Like I said before, medium reviews. People kind of liked it. They didn't really understand it. Regardless, it had something to say. as a review said, it had something to say about race, but I'm not sure I knew what it was.
Okay.
You have people of color interacting with Irish immigrants on stage. At least that's, you don't see that all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's something to see. Anyway, Actors Equity came out and said, we're making this producer, we're blacklisting him and saying, don't work. He's going to be added to our don't work list.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, really messy. Now, this guy, Garth Drabinsky, just this week came back and said, I'm suing Actors Equity for $50 million for defamation, which takes balls.
Wow.
He says, Drabinsky, this is the statement, more than any other producer in recent musical theater history has tackled the insidious issues of racism, prejudice, and bigotry in America through the musicals he has produced for Broadway. That's the topics, yes, I would agree. Actors Equity, however, has turned his remarkable record of achievements on its head by accusing him of being a racist. I don't know if that was ever an accusation. I could see it, but and creating a hostile and unsafe work environment. That is true. That is going forward. And it just makes here. This is let me read exactly what Paris Square is so I could. It was Civil War era, not later. When I saw it, I think it was in the 1890s. Paradise Square, a show about racial tensions in Civil War era New York City. That's the title. It did earn a Tony Award for, her name is Joaquina Kalukongo, and she was the one who sang on the Tonys. But it struggled to attract audience members and closed months after its opening night. They of course had a loss, and his shows were Fosse, Ragtime, and I think he did a revival of Kiss the Spider Woman as well. Anyway, it's a big mess, and this is going to drag out legal wise. But Paradise Square, if you heard about it, was one of those shows that people would say. I just remember from my friends in New York saying, "Have you seen it?" They're like, no, I'm afraid to. Because it had so much money behind it. Yeah. It's kind of like if the Broadway Corner was before, I would be talking about Rebecca, the show where the Hitchcock thing, and that was a different producer, but that producer made up two different investors. And then the show closed before it even opened.
Wow. That's Poodles Broadway Corner.
Well, I believe in the goodness of people now. Thanks for that.
Y'all, Broadway's a messy place, and it's often about producing and money, and it's a commercial place, and like it if you don't like it if you do, fuck it. But know that it is all about money on Broadway. Sorry.
I'm going to say this, but let's talk about something that actually is less depressing than that. Bilal and Shida.
Wow. I don't know if I'll agree with you there, but maybe.
Okay, they're praying, and I know it's early in the morning, but doesn't Shida look like a teenager that's being made to pray? She looks bored.
I said she looks exhausted and angry and like
she's just kind of looking like sulky. Off. Yeah, she does not look happy.
I wouldn't be either. Knowing that you have to fast every single day during Ramadan.
it's Ramadan, y'all. It's the first day of Ramadan, and so it's a time, obviously, as they say, Muslims strengthen their faith and become closer to God. And Bilal keeps finding reasons to gaslight his wife.
And also keeps reasons to instructionally tell her, I love this. You know, the little things that get on your nerves in Ramadan, you know, they don't matter as much. You learn to look at yourself. I guarantee you that motherfucker has never looked at himself.
No.
Not once.
Maybe when he masturbated and that's it.
Yeah. So even when he's like, this is the barbecue sauce I'm making tonight for the barbecue. And he's like, you're going to add some stuff to that. It's so passive aggressive. I'm sure it'll be great,
like,
though.
Whereas this is like, think about it, y'all. If you're not.
Well, y'all, the bus is coming.
Think about it. This is like your wife's first, whatever your. Whether it's High Holy Days, Hanukkah, Christmas.
Yeah, it's like your wife's first Seder, your wife's first Christmas dinner.
Like your first dinner, and like you're
being
telling
shitty.
Them, yeah, this isn't good enough.
You're being shitty. Yeah. So, y'all, his family's coming because who are the best allies she could ask for? His mother and his sister. Just two gargoyles.
They weren't terrible in this.
They were better than I thought they would be.
They were better only because, so the dinner, y'all, the dinner is fine. They kind of have this dinner and
she mentioned his family.
They mentioned the food's really good. So suck it, blah. And so his brother is there and they're asking about her yoga stuff. And she's like, oh, it's going, but not. Doesn't sound like much has gotten started with that because I don't think she has her green card yet, though, too, right?
I don't know. Their stuff was filmed right after Happily Ever After. Right after 90 Fiancé.
Yeah. So they just kept going on the fire of this train just exploding.
I have a feeling there probably wasn't a lot of break in filming for these two.
No, not at all. And so Shida's happy that this is their first Ramadan together because they've always been separated during Ramadan.
Yeah.
So, and Bilal, he was like, Bilal said, oh, I would have waited 20 years to be with you. And they all go, aw. And Shida's like, no, aw. Don't give him an aw. I was like, this is a Shida I want to see. More of that.
So the Nefertari, the sister, says, so what's happening? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I don't know. Maybe a family. And with that, Bilal looks at her and says, we have a family.
Okay. Now, that was shitty of him to say that.
Well, I'm revving up the bus.
That's shitty of him to say that. But it did. When she did say it, it did seem like he didn't have any children, the way she said it. So
interesting. I did not see it that way at all.
Well, I'm not defending, but I think that it would be smart of her to say, you know, we want to add to our family. Like, But I say that and I go, well, wait a minute. Why would she think she has any type of family when his first wife is a fucking monster to him?
Right. I think it was because she said it. If they would have both said it, it would have been different. When she said, what's next for you?
I'm not defending him. I just noticed it kind of, when she said it, I went, well, yeah, it's a family. But then the way he said that, I was like, fuck you.
So. Yeah. Then Bilal seizes on the idea that his sister had Muhammad, the little boy that was a table there.
Mom's like, this is a miracle, baby.
When she was 43. So he's like, look, it can happen. It's like Rachel and from Rachel and Abraham in the Bible.
Yeah. And so Shada says, I'm 30. You know, they say, how old are you? She says 37. And Bilal's like, well, that's like a good, what do you mean by
this? We've got at least 6 years.
No, he said six clean years.
Kill me.
What does that mean?
Well, and then like, so if now when he's like, I'm thinking 2 to 3 years. Again,
before 40.
Y'all, this is thievery. This is absolute cruelty.
It's cruelty.
This is someone who, and then she tells them, later on, she didn't say this at the table. She tells mom and sister later on
our
that
own.
The test that says she has a low egg count. And no, by 40, the chances,
that,
yeah.
Can we say that though? She said before that, she tells them, we went to the doctor, we got this. She's like, we haven't spoken about it since.
Yeah.
So think about that. And then, yeah.
So by 40, the chances of having a child are 5%.
And Nefertari's like, oh, wow. Okay. Like you kind of see, and mom even said, wait, and he was with you at the doctor's?
Yeah. They'll do like, anything yeah. they can to defend their golden boy.
Well, see, no, when she said with you, I was kind of looking at this as she processing this going, wait a minute, Bilal. I don't have faith in them, but I do think in that moment she was saying, trying to just get information.
They're super tribal. They will ignore her. As soon as she falls out with Bilal, they will freeze her out.
Oh, 100%. But again, y'all, he never brought this up. Not at all. He just let her sit in it when he came up. She felt like probably, y'all, this isn't true, but I know this just from having girlfriends that have all tried it. I hate that women feel this way, but sometimes when women feel like they're not able to have a baby or they feel like it can affect their identity as a woman and they're like, why are they on this earth? Like they can really go into existential questions about this. They shouldn't, but they do.
I
understand it. Yes, I understand it. And I would just want to remind women, you are worth a lot more than just bearing children. But the fact that there wasn't consoling from him, there wasn't checking in with her about this, but just, okay, that's information.
No, it's the cruelty of neglect. And it's
I'm gonna
just
say
so
this
awful.
Now, after hearing that, I'll sit shotgun on that bus.
Yay!
That pissed me off, y'all. When your woman is at a core.
I don't know. You'll have to ask because the core, bus is already kind of full.
Yeah, you're going to be drunk and you're not going to be able to drive. So you know I'm going to end up driving.
You can be there, but you're going to need to pay your own way.
Yeah, you're going to fuck like the three husbands.
You're going to pay for gas.
You're going to be the kid that sits in the back of the bus and just
We're looking for any Johnny come latelys. So you're going to have to like write the letters to ask if you can come.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You need to bring an implement though. You can't just be there. You got to do something.
I'm not ever admitting to getting on the bus. So I'm smarter than you legally. So nothing can be claimed against me. If I'm on that bus, you didn't see me, y'all. It wasn't
No, we have a forensic person who's going to help us with all of that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this bus.
And we have a defense lawyer who's going to get us all off.
Poodle stole my Amex and used it to pay for gas. That wasn't me. Nope. That video, Poodle with a red wig.
Let's talk about something more interesting, and it keeps going with Mama, I Married an Oldie. Is Jenny and Samuel. We're unpacking, and of course, he's got to go meet mommy and suck her on her titty.
What are you going to do today? What are you going to do? Walk? I'm gonna walk around. I'm going to scratch in the dirt. I'm going to peck at some food, and then I'm going to break. I might lay an egg. What about you, sweetheart?
And I'm going to go make some bread and tell everyone the sky is falling.
Sky's falling.
So,
another Wednesday.
I liked it when Jenny basically said, this is getting old.
Yes. So he is going to see his family and he asks, like, do you want to come with me? Do you want to come with me?
Of course not.
And she said,
I was so glad she didn't.
Well, did you see what she said when she said, no, I need to mop the floor?
Oh, She's becoming resentful, petty Jenny, and I'm kind of here for it.
I am here for that. She is fucking throwing shade at this piece of
now,
shit.
What's interesting is she is, maybe it's an illusion like it's always been. It is an illusion. Maybe it's an illusion, but she kind of is finding her power a little bit by saying, look, Sumit, and we'll talk about this, what she says later on. She's being really specific about how she feels, and she's not going to do anything because he asked her to. So I don't know. Y'all.
She's tired. She's just sick and tired.
Yeah.
That's
he
it.
He says, nobody else in the world can love me like my parents. And with that, I would tell him, well, I guess your mother's going to have to reverse cowgirl you at night because I'm not going to be.
I'm not going to be.
Who else is going to break your navel like I can?
Not me. Back.
So later on, we see his brother and his sister-in-law, Cherie, and his aunt, and no mom and dad. And I was like, this is a bold fucking HBO Succession move. This is Kendall Roy saying, Dad, I want to meet with you, and Logan Roy sending Jerry. You don't know that because you don't watch Succession, but all the sissies who watch Succession are knowing what I'm talking about.
They know what you're talking about. But you wondered, we saw the aunt and I went, so I wonder, is Shade going to run in the family?
It does.
And it does. It does.
That mother sent Jerry.
It is deep. So they sit down and it's kind of silent. And then Sumit's just sitting there, poor. And he says, I am hurt my parents aren't here. And I wrote, poor hurt Sumit. Poor baby right. Sumit. Like now, this is his wheelhouse. This is what he loves.
Yeah, victim. Again, victimhood.
He's like, I'm so shocked. And I wrote down, this man, it's really weird. It's an arrogant entitlement. That's what it's not just entitlement. It's this arrogant, optimistic entitlement that just makes me want to just throat punch him off a cliff.
Can you explain what the entitlement is?
The entitlement that he deserves.
I agree with you, but I just want you to.
The entitlement that he agrees to get everything he should want, even though he can treat people like shit and completely go against what they ask of him. I'm not saying his parents are right, but the entitlement that his parents have been very clear from the beginning what they expect from him, mm-hmm. what they want from him, and this isn't about like a kid coming out in the USA and the parents being on the wrong side. Y'all, this is a cultural thing. Apparently, people in India, in the South, we just talk about people behind their back. In India, they apparently call you up and say, hey, heard your son married an oldie. They're fucking brutal.
Hey, Sadhna, can I speak to oldie?
Y'all, they're fucking brutal. Like,
yeah, they're supposedly being teased.
Teased, and which is horrible. But Sumit
that's
knows
brutal, that India.
That's brutal. And the fact though that he can be like, well, they should just, because Jenny, we can give her a pass in some ways because Jenny's an American and she doesn't fully understand it. I don't think even still.
We don't either. I don't fully understand it.
It seems very cruel. He does understand it. And so the entitlement that I can get whatever I want because I want to will it so.
Yeah, I'm going to have it all.
I'm going to have it all at the expense of everyone I love.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But I wanted you to say that because the level of Mama's little boy that he has that says I can win my mother back even though I've done everything she's told me not to. the love of a parent supersedes everything.
And he shames her when she doesn't love him that right. she's not being a good mother.
And then the idea that everyone else, he's going to basically weaponize his love for Jenny for them and then yep. weaponize his love for the parents against Jenny.
Yep.
And no one gets anything except for Submit. It's exactly. awful.
It's yeah, awful.
It's really is awful.
It's a different way. I think he's just as much of a monster as Bilal at this point. I really do.
I would love to argue with you. I just can't see anybody being on a par with Bilal.
But I get it.
So then, y'all, we hear new material for the very first time. And because the aunt is basically,
mom is doing so badly. So it looked like
can't tell if she's drunk or high.
Drunk or high, because her eyes are just so weary from crying. I think she's going insane.
And Submit says, I've gotten married and you need to accept it. And I won't be happy. I wasn't happy in my previous relationship. I'm very happy now. I don't know why she can't accept that. And then he's like, you know what? I will have children in the future.
Because they bring up, the aunt says, how are you going to have children with her? And like the brother even says, really? And you can't do this. And that's where he says, I'm going to have children with her.
Now, new information, y'all.
I have to say, I pulled a reality gaze where I went, wait, did we talk about this? And we just forgot. And Sissy is going to yell at us. Or this is new information.
It's new information.
And Submit even says, they said, did you talk to Jenny about this? Yep. And he said,
no. The sister-in-law says, have you even mentioned this?
He said, no, but I will. So he just makes this decision without Jenny that he's going to have fucking children.
He says through adoption or surrogacy, and he doesn't really he speaks for her that she will be the mother to his child.
Yeah, and he says, honestly, I don't want kids, but this is something I will do for my parents.
That was the worst, when he said, I don't want kids. So you would bring children into this world, or you would adopt children, not because you wanted them, but to make your fucking mother happy.
Not to make mothers happy, to make it so his mother will take care of him as well. Yep. That's what all this is about. Blech. He wants everyone to take care. Fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Fuck you, Submit.
Oh.
Man child, man boy. So y'all, that he comes back and Jenny's like, so how'd it go? I kind of screamed, and Submit went, and he's not gonna, he's like, I can't tell Jenny everything. So
Did you just see Jenny
stress eating?
Oh, just stressing. You can drive the bus. I'll drive the rickshaw, y'all.
Okay.
I'm at this point. I'll drive the rickshaw. We're going to have to pile in, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, I don't have same. You know why? I don't have the same rage as Submit. Yeah.
It makes, you know what it is? Because it is, because I do like Jenny. I think she really wants to be just a good, simple person in the world. And I don't think she wants to be this dramatic person. I think she just wants to have it. It goes back to people show you who they are when you first know them, believe them. Mm-hmm. He catfished her from the beginning and lied to her. And he just played in a way of Usman, but this man played off of her age. And the way she looks, and he used that to his advantage to just get another woman to take care of him.
Yeah.
And it feels now like this is all about control for him. It is a passiveness. It is a more insidious, but I do think this is about controlling people.
I really do. I could see that. I would have to me, it's so passive, and I don't think he would ever see it that way.
I think it's probably subconscious. I don't even know if he's doing it consciously.
Yeah.
But it's insidious. That's a good word for me.
His mom is obviously controlling everything. And you know, so I learned it by watching you. But what Jenny says is, that's fine. We'll just go to America. And you know, he goes, and we'd have a happy life there. I'm missing out on my children and grandchildren,
and we should just go back there. I had to make a sacrifice. It's time for Sumit to make a sacrifice.
And he said, well, if we go, though, Jenny, I think that my family won't meet with me anymore. And she goes, well, it's kind of their fault.
Yeah, and she's 100% right. She's just tossing truth bombs like grenades at him.
Yes. And she said, I didn't realize. He tried to say, do you not like India? She's like, I like India, but I'm struggling with your family.
Yeah. And then she's like, maybe I'll just go to America by myself.
And she then said, maybe it will show them if you go with me that they have to make an effort. And he says it as, no.
They'll say you're taking me away from them.
And then Sumit says, that will make the situation worse, but if I have a kid, that will make my parents happy, and that's a good reason why we have to stay in India.
And I wrote, what a POS.
And I wrote, leave his ass, Jenny. Leave his ass.
It'd be really good if she did. I would be elated.
Her daughter, Jenny, or her daughter, her wife's name is Jenny. What's her daughter's name?
Fuck, what is her daughter? If you hadn't have said it, I would have remembered it. God damn you.
Well.
Shit. Well,
Christina.
Thank you.
Christina is going to fucking come in on him on the tell-off of this. God, Christina, I know you don't listen to us. I wish you would, because you and Jenny, we drink with y'all in Palm Springs, probably.
We would.
We love going out lesbians. Tell your mother to leave this man.
I hate him. I'm going to go engage. Y'all, that's the show. That is this show.
Ugh. Golly.
It's a slog.
All right, y'all. I'm going to get out of this bunker on this intimate. But it's kind of pretty with the curtain behind me.
No, I think it's nice. It looks like you're in a Soviet Republic.
Poodle always has a comment on my background. So I said, well, then you can make me one that I can put up when I travel.
I think that's a good idea. That's my next thing.
Yeah, we'll wish in one hand and shit in the other and see what fills up on that one, y'all. All right, everybody. That's the show. You can go to realitygaze.com. That is our website. It's not porn anymore. Hey,
no.
Join our... Nope. We are almost 10,000 strong on our Sissy Squad. That's our Facebook page, our fan group. We don't run it anymore, but we've got a lot of sissies in there. And so they're, as we say, we have fun in there, in that group. We love them very much. And we have, you know, again, news, y'all. Once we get our 10,000 sissy that joins, Poodle is going to go to their house and do a private piano concert.
No, that's not what I'm going to do. I'll give you like a gift card to the Macaroni Grill or something.
I'm trying to get him to make an app anyway. All right, so
no,
you can do that.
That's like a couple $1,000.
Oh, Jesus. All right, everybody. You can also follow us on TikTok. We have a yard submit, but we also have some other memes from this episode of 90 Day Fiancé that's on TikTok and on Instagram. Follow us there. We call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places, people?
Yes. And if you don't know whether your mother is drunk or high, whether you look into her eyes, chances are she's both.
Chances are she's both.
And you can call us.
Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.